Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out Five Reasons YouTube before every game of this series, 1 hour before. Join us for Before Floor. Brady, Greg, and I are there with Jonathan and Ricky. Also, post up 5R as soon as the game ends, hosted by Royal Shepherd and his crew. And FiveReasonsSports.com. Make sure you're spelling that one out. For the latest takeaways from Brady Hawk and others, he's got his preview of this series up there already. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes our friends over at prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You can play the NBA, NHL, MLB, and all the other sports. You can match players from different sports. Go 2, 3, 4, 5 players. However many you want to go, power play, flex play. Just don't pick Steph Curry to go over 25.5 points in game one against the Grizzlies, because that blew me up today. But anyway, check out prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit match. Of course, check our picks before every game. And now, tonight's episode. All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I've got Greg Sylvaner. You can follow him at Greg Sylvaner. And I've got from Sixers Wire up there in Pennsylvania. Gotten a chance to meet him a couple times when he's been down here covering the Sixers, Kai Carlin. You can follow him at Kai_Carlin on Twitter. We are not going to harass him. We didn't have Alex on this pod tonight because I can only have one Philly hater on the pod. You know, you guys know I'm impartial, but Greg and Alex, they can't hide it with the Sixers. There is this natural rivalry. So before we get to this series and all the permutations, Embiid, Lowry, the news on when guys are coming back, how the teams attack each other. Let me just ask you this. Do Philadelphia fans hate the Heat, Kai, as much as Heat fans hate the Sixers?
I don't know. I think that's a tough question. I think Sixers fans hate the Raptors. I think the Raptors and the Celtics are probably the two teams where they can't stand. And then as far as the Heat go, they just hate Jimmy Butler. But that's kind of like the only guy. It's only because of, you know, he played for the team. So yeah, they're not fans of the Raptors right now, especially after what happened in game 6 up in Toronto.
But why
there's not enough playoff equity, Ethan. Like, eventually, yeah, with enough series, enough matchups, enough scuffles in game 5s of sorts, then maybe we'll have a rivalry on our hands.
But I don't understand. Here's the part about the Jimmy thing. I don't get why they hate Jimmy. Jimmy was traded there. He was the best player in the playoffs during that postseason for Philadelphia. That team maybe goes to the finals if Kawhi doesn't get a bounce. Could have won a championship with the way that things played out with Golden State and Durant in the finals. He wanted to come back. Depending on who you talk to, he was either offered the max deal or he wasn't offered the max deal. But my understanding is Elton kind of wanted him back, but Brett and Josh Harris didn't. And so then he moved on to Miami. I mean, I guess I don't understand that one. Like, what I can understand why Timberwolves fans. Okay, that one I get. I mean, and they're hopeless anyway. But like, I understand Timberwolves fans guy, but I don't understand. What are Sixers fans mad at Jimmy about?
So I think there was another report that came out, like, and what you said was true, but there was another one that came out, I think, from ESPN that, like, I think the Sixers played the Heat in Dwayne Wade's final home game there. And then obviously Jimmy played with Wade that one season in Chicago. So, like, you know, they're close and everything. And then Jimmy said something along the lines of, they treated Dwayne so good, you know, like, that's why I want to go to Miami and the culture and everything like that. I will say Sixers fans mock the Heat culture on an everyday basis. They think it's the most weirdest thing in the world.
Uh-oh, Kai, you're setting Greg off here. Coordinator.
No, I actually talked to Josh Richardson one-on-one when Josh was here, obviously in the sign-in trade with Jimmy. And I actually asked Josh, I was like, hey, talk to me about the culture down in Miami. How does that all come about? And Josh was telling me something along the lines of they have to take like 2 or 3 conditioning tests before they even show up for training camp. And if they don't pass those conditioning tests, they can't even show up to training camp. It's because Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have done such a great job of, like, you know, getting these guys like, hey, listen, nobody's going to outwork us. We are going to come out each and every game. We may not be the most talented bunch every year, but we are going to work our ass off every single year. And I kind of found that interesting. Like, and you can just tell, like, so, you know, I always come to Miami because it's always my, like, who doesn't want to come to Florida whenever, you know, the team you cover comes down here. And like, and just like, you know, when you talk to Spoelstra, it's just like, it's a, you can just tell there's a no nonsense type of atmosphere there. So, I mean, I'm cool with the culture. I think it's really, it's like a really thing that they have really set up down here.
Well, but the other part of it that's gotten interesting, Ethan, as we try to put a bow on why this has became from a fan perspective, where you have fans that have animosity towards each other. And it's like, why the hell would that happen? Because it's not traditional. I think that there is a team building philosophy discrepancy between what went on in Philadelphia with tanking and losing on purpose and valuing draft picks and not really treating players like human beings and treating them just like assets to be arranged, and Riley being the anti-tank guy, the anti-build through the draft guy. So I think that that ultimately also probably drives some of the, you know, the shots taken both ways.
Probably.
Yeah, and there was a playoff series that was contentious. Philly had a better team.
Yeah. I will say this though, Ethan, I think that 2018, I will say Spoelstra, I thought, made so many great adjustments against Brett Brown in that series. Just the Sixers won because they were the better team. They had more talent.
They were just way better.
Yeah.
And I will say, I think I'm going, just even thinking back to that series, I didn't travel to Miami for games 3 or 4 that year. Obviously I'm in Miami this time for game one tomorrow, but I remember like Hassan Whiteside just absolutely just being an absolute like bust while he was getting killed by Ersan Ilyasova in games 1 and 2 before Embiid even came back.
Pain. Why bring that up? The pain.
PTSD, Whiteside PTSD. Well, Whiteside almost forced Spoelstra out of coaching completely. So,
Ethan, go to break, please.
Yeah, we remember that. Well, now the next sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, you know what? We'll do that, actually. If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. I want to tell you about our friends over at Water Cleanup. We are going to get to the analysis in this series, I promise. We're going to do it right here, but I know I don't want to put Greg through too much Whiteside conversation, because if there's one thing that he likes less than the Sixers, it's Hassan Whiteside. But we do want to tell you about Water Cleanup of Florida. If you're a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim, water mold and fire damage, you got to find a reputable, fully licensed, insured and certified contractor. Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. Reach out to Michael, Robert and their team, more than 60 years of combined experience, third generation contractors in South Florida. And their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. You can find them at watercleanupflorida.com or Water Cleanup of Florida on Instagram and other places like that on social. But you can reach Michael on his personal cell, 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. So again, they can handle all of your problems in your house. If you have a Hassan Whiteside problem, though, you got to find the Portland Trailblazers to take that off of your hands. So check out watercleanupflorida.com. One-stop shopping the busy homeowners and business owners require. No need to bring in other contractors. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
All right, so let's get to it. No more Whiteside talk, I promise here. The stories of this series, it starts off always with every series with availability. So I'll just update on what happened at heat practice today. No Kyle Lowry. He's now angry at me because I accidentally posted a photo of him shooting us the bird today. Didn't mean to do that. That was just random. I took one photo. I wasn't thinking and I posted it. So if you listen to this, Kyle, I apologize. I guess I shouldn't have mentioned it again. Kyle's going to miss game one. And we believe he's going to miss game two. Also, Greg, you reported that a little while ago. I don't anticipate he's going to play until they lose. Honestly, I think they just stretch this thing out and try to prep his hamstring. They have about 12 guys listed as questionable right now. But Eric Spoelstra then said everybody's ready to play. So they're just kind of listing guys as questionable to list them as questionable. Jimmy's playing. Caleb's playing. I talked to Max. He's playing. Tyler's listed as questionable. He's playing. They're all playing. Okay. On the Philadelphia side. Now, Kai, how can you help us here? Because our reporting was that Embiid was likely going to miss the entire series. When I've talked to others up there, some national guys who cover that team regularly, some of which you probably know, I'm friendly with, they told me that Embiid's going to do everything in his power to play, but that doesn't mean he will play. And they don't anticipate that he will play. And then Woj had a report that he's out for 1 and 2, but it sounded kind of hopeful for game 3. So where do you stand on this?
So when the news dropped, immediately I kind of thought back to 2018 because obviously he missed the first two games with the Heat that year too because of an orbital fracture, same injury. So, and he was out for 3 weeks before he came back for game three of that series. So the difference with Joel now compared to what it was in 18, Joel needed surgery in 18 to fix the issue. This time he doesn't need the surgery. So at this point, they're just waiting for him to clear the concussion protocols, which means he could be back before game three. Like that's the big, you know, hope. And then he'll just wear a mask again to protect the, you know, the bone around his eye. So you just kind of rock with it like that. Joel is just, he's worked so hard on his body to ensure that he is healthy. So he's kind of at a point where like, he's not going to let some random freak injury derail his playoff run. Granted, I didn't think it would have mattered anyway. I picked the Heat in this series before the injury. And then I'm picking them after. I think before the injury, I probably would have said Heat in seven. Just because, you know, obviously you got two huge talents like Joel Embiid and James Harden. With Joel's injury, I say the Heat in five. But, you know, that's just kind of how I just saw going into this. But yeah, and in terms of Joel, like, you know, he's going to do everything in his power to try to return to this series. You know, he's worked too hard not to.
Yeah, I mean, all I heard was that there was likely, you know, it was really unlikely he was going to get back on the court throughout this series, which, you know, truthfully, Jimmy Butler said it best. It sucks. Like, I wanted to see these two teams fully healthy. I did get the chance to read your preview, the primer for the entire series. I would really encourage all of our listeners. It's at SixersWire.USAToday.com. Where you can find Kai's work about the series. And you talk about defending Jimmy Butler and the changes that they have to make. How the hell do you think the Heat are going to defend James Harden? Because there's this overwhelming thing happening with the fan base where they're saying that the Heat are going to approach it the way they did with Trae Young and throw the kitchen sink at the one guy. And that's how that they're going to go at him. And I kind of feel like with Maxey being as good as he's play, I mean, he's the prototypical player that the Heat have struggled with all damn season. So to throw this kitchen sink at Harden, I think is a little short-sighted. Who do you think is going to be the emphasis for the Heat? And do you think that they would be better off focusing in on Maxey versus Harden in this scenario?
Now, see, that's the ultimate question, right? Because, I mean, Maxey has had big games against Philadelphia this season. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody remembers Maxey's last game against them with no Joel and Harden, and, you know, Maxey went off in the fourth quarter. So I think, like if I was Eric Spoelstra and I'm heading into this series, I wouldn't throw the kitchen sink at Harden because he's such an elite playmaker to where, like, he's going and he's got a high basketball IQ too. So if you throw the kitchen sink at him, Harden is going to pick you apart because he's going to find Tobias Harris in the corner, who has become an elite catch and shoot 3-point shooter since Harden got here. I think he shot somewhere around 43% from deep against Toronto in round one. And a majority of those 3-point shots are off the catch and shoot variety. So if you throw the kitchen sink at James, he's going to either kick it out to Tobias in the corner. Danny Green is still another guy. I know he's like old as dirt, but Danny Green can still go out there and knock down a corner 3-point shot. And then on top of that, they kind of run this pick and roll with Harden and Tyrese Maxey. And they just kind of, you know, they use their versatility that way. And then also DeAndre Jordan, as he's not very good defensively anymore. He's not who he used to be on that end, but he can catch a lob too. So if I'm the Heat, I'll kind of try to play him straight up and maybe not offer all of the help just because Harden is so good at playmaking for other players.
You mentioned DeAndre Jordan, and I want to get back to Harden in a second, but I mean, Rivers threw out there, Doc threw out there that he could use four different bigs, all of whom are limited in some way, right? Like, I mean, I know that the talk up in Philadelphia has been, why is Jordan even playing ahead of Paul Reed at this stage? That seems to have been the big controversy up there. What do you think the chances are that Doc just scraps that entirely and just says, we're going to go small? Like, and can they even go small? Because I don't really see a small ball five on their roster. I mean, I guess Millsap maybe, but it doesn't seem like Paul has very much left. Like, what? How would you handle that? Or do you think there's a chance he does that? Just says, screw the bigs. We're gonna go small.
Well, if the Sixers go small, they wouldn't go to Millsap. They'd probably put Tobias or Doris Niang at the five and go from there. Like, I know Doc actually mentioned it at practice on Saturday that, you know, he actually mentioned a couple of Heat lineups. He was talking about how the Heat sometimes go with PJ Tucker at the five. And then he said, like, there was another lineup that the Sixers were looking at that he didn't mention a player, but he said, like, there was another small lineup that they like to go to. Doc said he's not really sure about going small, especially because George Niang is actually dealing with a knee injury. And George was already slow to begin with. And, like, now if you put George at the five against this team, I don't think that's going to be a very good matchup or a very good idea for Philadelphia. And then you kind of go into it. And if Tobias is at the five, give Tobias a ton of credit. He was great defensively against Pascal Siakam in the Toronto series. And he was also very great switching off pick and rolls and defending Scottie Barnes and Gary Trent Jr. I thought he did a really, really good job against them. But the Heat are just they're tough. They're physical. They are they kind of grind you into submission a little bit. That's just kind of what Eric Spoelstra does, and that's what that team does. And if I'm the Sixers and I'm going into the series without Joel, you kind of have to hope that Harden kind of reverts back to Houston Harden and just goes out and drops 40 to 50 points like he used to. And I'm just not sure if he can do it anymore.
Why do you think he can't? Let's dive into that a little bit. Why do you think he can't do it? Because people in the network know I'm not the biggest James Harden fan. I mean, this goes back
you
to...
You think?
Yeah, I mean, Heat fans wanting to trade for him last year. I've said repeatedly, you will never win a championship with James Harden as one of your two best players. And I'm holding to that entirely. I think
he takes.
No, I've said that on this podcast a million times.
Oh, I know. But I've never heard such a hot take.
He's just not that guy. I mean, I'm sorry. And I just don't think he can be trusted. I don't think he'd be trusted to be available when it matters. And I don't think he trusted to raise his game when it matters in the playoffs. I think we've seen that consistently. But from your perspective as someone without my jaded view of it, what have you seen from him this year? Because I mean, to be honest, he just looks like he can't get by anybody. Like that's the number one thing. It's all step backs and flails for fouls, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of been the one thing where it's kind of like what's going on with you? Like I was surprised the other night when I was up in Toronto for game six and he drove down the lane and had a slam dunk in the first quarter in the half court offense. You know, I haven't really seen that from him since the Sixers acquired him. So that kind of gives me the indication that like maybe he doesn't have to do that anymore because he just happens to be playing with, you know, an MVP candidate and somebody who, I mean, I think Joel should win MVP. I know it's going to go to Jokic, but Joel would probably be my pick. And maybe it's because I cover the guy and like just I was around everything, but Joel would be my pick if I had a vote.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm just a Heat fan, so that means something.
Yeah, just with the Ben Simmons stuff that happened earlier in the year and the fact that Joel kind of threw this team on his back and they were the number three seed going into the break before Harden even got there. First big to lead the scoring since Shaq and 22 years ago. I mean, first big to average 30 since Moses Malone 30 years ago or 40 years ago, however long it was. I mean, it was impressive. But anyway, back to Harden. I'm sorry. But yeah, like Harden, maybe he realizes that he didn't have to do all of that because he's playing with Joel Embiid. Now that Joel's out, maybe Harden will show off more of the offensive game. I did see that his trainer on Instagram took like a question thing. Like he did that thing on his Instagram story where people ask questions and stuff. And somebody asked him, are you still working with Harden? And he kind of responded saying that Harden really wasn't able to get any work this summer because of the hamstring injury that he suffered with the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs last year. So maybe the hamstring issue really is still bothering him. Combined with the fact that he is 32, I believe that's his age. So, we're talking about a guy who's kind of on the wrong side of 30. He's got a ton of miles on his body. Like maybe he's just kind of beginning on that little decline.
Excuses.
But it's fair though. I mean, I think that when you look at his situation and you look at the way he's played this year, he looks like a guy on the decline. I mean, it's not just
Jimmy.
32, but Jimmy, but let's be honest about Jimmy though. Jimmy was available less than Harden this year, but he played better when Harden, when he played. Let me ask you this question, Kai, on this subject. As a partner for Joel Embiid, because they had Jimmy Butler, right? Like whatever the circumstances was of Jimmy's departure, they had Jimmy Butler as a partner, Joel Embiid, and the relationship between Embiid and Butler was not the problem. The problem was relationships with others, particularly both of their relationships with Ben, right? So like who in your view, like would be a better partner to Joel, a healthy Joel Embiid, James Harden or Jimmy Butler?
That's a tough question. I do want to say covering Jimmy for that half a season was a lot of fun. Like there was one time that dude came in the locker room with a cowboy hat on and cowboy boots. He was playing country music off his iPad. It was actually hilarious. There was one time he did a media availability in practice and he had country music playing from his phone. So you could barely hear him when you were listening back to the audio, trying to write an article. And I was like, oh man, Jimmy was a lot of fun. But if you're going to ask me who's the perfect partner for Joel, Jimmy Butler or James Harden, if you're giving me if you're guaranteeing me a fully healthy James Harden, I would probably take James. And again, like just because I think highly of James, I'm not saying Ethan that like James is like the end all be all, the guy you can win a championship with him. But at the end of the day, the guy is going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a top 75 player. He's an elite playmaker. He rebounds.
Where do you think he ranks all time with shooting guards?
Well, the top three are Jordan, Kobe, Dwayne Wade. Those are my top three.
You're good at this game, man. Greg all the just questions
you to see if you can stay. At this point,
you've been very like you've evaded all of the things where you could have this could have gone south. You've done great. Like really, hats off.
I will say this, Greg. So the reason why I even got in, I wanted to be a sports writer was because of Dwayne Wade. The 2006 finals, my dad actually lives in Delray Beach. And I was actually, you know, it was in the summer. We were at his house. We were watching the finals. And I remember just watching Wade do his thing. And I remember watching that. And I was like, damn, it would be really cool to be there and ask him questions after the game and write articles and, you know, podcasting and stuff after that. Whatever, you know, it was
that's awesome.
So yeah,
Ethan was there doing that stuff back then.
Yeah, I was 80 years old at the time, actually. Yeah, no, I was doing all of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, look, I feel, you see, here's my take on Harden. There's no question Harden is, where do you want to put him? He's a top 10 shooting guard of all time. Okay. I think he's in the mix. But I think there are, as we say, levels to this. And the difference between Dwayne and James is that in the big moments, Dwayne raised his game.
He did.
And James has consistently over the course of his career, you look at his numbers, the 3-point shooting in the playoffs always drops, but the attempts don't. Okay. And then just the moments that he's had to come up big, there've been a couple, and obviously Chris Paul doesn't get hurt with Houston. That thing looks a little bit different. Maybe they beat Golden State, all the rest of that. We have a different dialogue about this, but he has not stepped up. And with somebody with his gifts and the skill level that he's created, which he deserves credit for that. He's got enormous skill level, but he hasn't maximized because he doesn't take care of his body. And this was frustrating watching Shaq over the course of his career, but Shaq could still dominate. But watching James not maximize, when you see other guys in the league who do maximize, you watch the way that, again, Dwayne maximized, can be frustrating at times. And that's why I don't put him ahead of guys like Clyde Drexler or some others at the two guard position. I think he's in the top 10, but yeah. I don't have him right up there. All right. I do want to get to a couple more features of this series, including Doc, who I think is really fascinating, because I want to get your take on whether or not you think he put them in this position with what happened the other night. Before we do, one more sponsor to tell you about, our friends over at therapistpreferred.com for premium CBD, recovery, and sleep. Those are two things James Harden's going to need in this series, particularly if he's hanging out at the Hard Rock till 6 a.m. again or other parts unknown. Therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. You get 25% off the tincture, the sports cream, the gummies, and all the great stuff there. Then the gummies, they taste good. And look, you're not going to fail a drug test or anything like that. Go to therapistpreferred.com. Use that. Well, you can't fail a drug test in the NBA anymore anyway. But In real life, you can't either. Therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN for 25% off. All right, Doc Rivers. Here's another place I am with this team. I like Doc personally. I've always liked covering Doc. I appreciate his honesty. I thought he was a great broadcaster. Like I like Doc. Okay.
But
at the same time, he just talks his way into trouble all the time, whether it was the Ben thing last year or now this latest thing. Like, I mean, the thing about keeping Embiid in the game because you're afraid of them coming back with 4 minutes left just tells people. I mean, forget the whole 3-1 thing that he got into earlier in the week, which was ridiculous. But you're basically just telling people, I didn't trust my team to protect a 29-point lead with 4 minutes left, so I had to leave my MVP candidate in a series that was over when the MVP candidate was already injured. Like forget the fact that, you know, what ended up happening with Siakam and who was at fault. He was already hurt. Like, we already heard about the thumb and that he was going to need surgery after the season. Right. Is this defense? I mean, is he getting heat, so to speak, up in Philadelphia right now for this?
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is. I mean, I mean, listen, I don't know if either of you have ventured into Philadelphia, but it's the sports radio hosts in Philadelphia are very ruthless people. They're tough. They're tough. And like, you know, I mean, the sports, there was a sports show radio host, I forget his name, but he wanted Joel Embiid traded after, I think midway through the second year that he missed because of the foot injuries. Like, remember, he missed the first two full years of his career because of the injuries, and the sports show host wanted him traded. Like,
was it Eskin? It's always Eskin, isn't it? Always Eskin?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it was Eskin. I don't think it was, but I do forget the name of the guy, but yeah, he went on rants every day. Sixers should trade Joel Embiid. He'll never become anything. He's a bum. He's a bust. You know, just this every day. Which at the time, sure, you could have made the case, but now, you know, I'm pretty sure that guy's happy that Sixers didn't trade Joel Embiid. I will say this about Doc. I think he deserves a ton of credit this year. More credit than I think people are giving him, because the Ben thing was toxic. It was just every day, no matter what that team did. I think they had a hell of a win in Denver on the road trip. I wasn't in Denver for this game, but just like they had a hell of a win in Denver. The Nuggets had Jokic. I think Michael Porter Jr. played that game. Joel was out with COVID. Obviously, they didn't have Ben. And Sixers go in there and beat the Nuggets. I think the first question afterward was, Coach, you know when Ben's coming back? It's just like it was the same thing over and over again. So no matter what that team did, it was Ben this, Ben that. Have you talked to Ben? Are you going to try to trade Ben? Is Ben in the facility? And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's our job to kind of figure out like what's going on with Ben. So like we had to ask the question, but it was such a toxic situation. And Doc did a hell of a job keeping the team together and making sure like, hey, listen, forget the outside noise. We're going to go in there. We're going to play basketball. And Joel, this is why I think he should be MVP. He did the same thing. But there are also things that Doc does. We just kind of scratch our head, right? I mean, like you said, Ethan, I mean, the other night in Toronto, there was no reason for Joel to be out there with the team's up 27 with 4 minutes left. And then Joel has the dunk. He pulled out the airplane celebration, pissed off the entire country of Canada. And then, you know, Siakam hits him with the elbow, and all of a sudden he's out for two games against the number one seed in the East, where, you know, if you're going to have a chance in this series, you're going to need Joel.
Is a key question. I have to sneak this in and then we can go whichever direction Ethan would like. Next year, when D'Antoni's in that same situation, do you think that he'll make the decision to have Embiid on the court or not? Because you know he's going to be the head coach in Philly next year, right?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that situation. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
All right, that's fair. No doubt. All right, so let's pivot off of that, because I don't know how to follow that exactly. But look, there has to be a path, right? Like, I mean, so let's try to figure out what the path is, because I've never seen this before. We know that ESPN just found out last week that the Heat exist and that they were founded.
I've seen you complain on Twitter either.
Yeah, and that founded in 88. I was educating our friend Nick Friedel there today and others about what's going on with the Heat, because everybody's ignored the team the entire season. Bod Temps can't stand it because I send him messages about Tyler Hero and all the rest of this stuff. But the reality is they all picked the Heat this series, like 20 of them, including our friend George Sedano, who always says he'd rather be the Sixers. 20 for 20. In fact, they all picked the Suns over the Mavs too, which makes me nervous for the Suns. But there has to be a path, okay?
There is.
And so is Greg put this up in the chat. Is Maxey the path? Because I don't feel it's Harden. And I don't trust Tobias Harris to play big. He's a fine player. He's not a max player. I don't trust him to play big 4 or 5 times in the series. He reminds me a lot of Jamal Mashburn and like the worst of Jamal's qualities, not the best of Jamal's qualities, that just in the playoffs, I'm not counting on him.
Wow.
That's I'm just saying, I like Jamal, but I'm just, Jamal's a better player than Tobias. But like, I'm just saying, like, there is a certain element of he's not going to raise his game. I thought he played well against Toronto. He's not going to raise his game. Millsap is cooked. They don't have Seth Curry anymore, who could have helped him in this series. You know, Tybull, I mean, he can only defend one at a time, and he's a liability on offense. Yeah. So it just looks to me like it's Maxey, right? Like, isn't that who the Heat need to load up against?
It's tough, man, because thinking of a path, and like, I can't even like go to the bench, because when you look at Miami's depth, you know, they're probably going to start tomorrow. What? Vincent, Struess, Butler, Tucker, Adebayo. That's probably going to be starting lineup.
Yes.
So, but then you look down the bench and in comes Tyler Hero, who's going to be a freaking shoe-in for sixth man of the year. You got Victor Oladipo all of a sudden like breaking out of, you know, his corpse and coming back and actually producing. You got just so many different options that the Heat can throw at you off the bench. Duncan Robinson even. And I know Robinson's kind of had an up and down year in terms of his shooting. But I mean, if that guy gets hot, as he did in game one against the Hawks, then dude, watch out, because you can't leave Duncan Robinson open. Even when he's having an off game, you can't leave Robinson open. And then even Dwayne Dedman and hell, even Omer Yurtseven like comes in and gives that team good minutes. So the Heat just have so much depth. When you look at Philadelphia's bench, you just mentioned Thybulle. Obviously, he wasn't able to play in Toronto. He wasn't able to enter Canada because he's not fully vaccinated. So that kind of threw him off a little bit. You could tell his confidence was rattled in game 5 of that series with Toronto, because he was terrible in that game 5. You could just tell he couldn't have it. But then you don't know what you're going to get out of Shake Milton. You don't know what you're going to get out of the bigs, you know, whichever one Doc chooses. As you said, Ethan, Millsap's kind of, I don't want to say cooked, but I mean, he's definitely kind of nearing that. You know, he's been in the league 16 years. DeAndre Jordan is helpful on offense in terms of lobs, but defensively, he's not who he used to be. Paul Reed, there are a lot of times where he gives a ton of energy. Give that kid credit. He comes in and he plays with a ton of energy, but just there are so many times where he has no idea where he's supposed to be on the offensive end or defensive end. And Charles Bassey's a rookie who is coming off a right shoulder sprain. So, and then there's also George Niang. Niang's probably their best bench player. He's a good 3-point shooter, but defensively he is he's a walking turnstile. And then there's Furkan Korkmaz, who's been out of the rotation, but he can't play defense either. And if he isn't making threes, there's no reason for Furkan Korkmaz to be out there.
They have no bigs. It's crazy when you really like take Embiid away. It really gets ugly.
So that might not have been a guy you wanted to play with a 29-point lead with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, right.
Series that was decided.
But I will say this. If there is a path for the Sixers to win this series, again, and I know Maxey, but I'm putting the pressure on James Harden. I'm putting it all on him. The Sixers made this trade with a championship in mind, right? You know, like that this was, and they still ended up winning 51 games. You give them credit. Again, despite everything that happened for them this year. But at the end of the day, this team has been preaching championship for the past 5 years or so. And, you know, you bring in James Harden. You gave up, you know, Ben Simmons and Andre Drummond. Imagine Sixers still had Drummond right now. I know Drummond's nothing, you know, huge, but he was great as a backup for this team. He was a great backup behind Embiid. So now, I mean, it's tough. But for me, it's Harden. Joel's out. Okay, James, go out there. Carry the team. This is what we traded you for. Like, if I was Daryl Morey, that's what I would be looking at him. So Harden is the path for me. You got to hope he turns back the clock.
And let's look forward before we give the picks here. If he doesn't, like, let's, I mean, and you go out, I think we've all picked the Heat in five. Okay. So like if he doesn't and they go out in five, do you extend James Harden? are you going to pay James Harden with the way that he treats his body at 32 plus years old? That kind of, I mean, because if you don't, the trade is a bust. I mean, I don't care that Simmons hasn't produced anything, but Morey basically had a chip to play and he played it to get James Harden, his guy. He has to extend him, doesn't he? But it's not like with Jimmy Butler, where like, at least, you know, you're getting production when he plays into the future. Like, Jimmy takes care of his body, even though, you know, he's had some injuries this year. James doesn't. Okay. Right. So, I mean, they made a choice not to pay Jimmy Butler all of those years into the future.
Right.
Do they pay James Harden all of those years into the future?
I will say, I don't think the trade is a bust regardless, because I mean, the Ben thing in Brooklyn is just insane. So I think the Sixers won this trade flat out, because they got something out of the player they got.
Okay, what if you could have traded Ben for CJ McCollum? I mean, we saw what CJ McCollum did with New Orleans.
I don't know if I would have traded for CJ McCollum. Okay. I don't know. Like because
if you could have gotten Tyrese Halliburton. That is the deal they should have done.
Now that is the deal I would have done, even not for CJ McCollum. I agree with Greg. I would have definitely done the Halliburton deal, because I mean, hell, he did a hell of a job for the Pacers to kind of close out the season. I mean, that kid's going to be really good.
And he's locked into a rookie contract. I mean, yes. What the Kings are thinking is beyond me, but like, yeah.
I mean, I'd be surprised. Sacramento Kings. There's a reason why that team hasn't made the playoffs in 2006. I mean, come on.
Right.
I wouldn't call the trade a bust. Just because Sixers won this trade flat out, because Simmons refuses to play basketball. And then Andre Drummond was useless in that playoff series against Boston. And then Seth Curry, I think, struggled a little bit on the defensive end. So either way, the Sixers are going to – they won the trade flat out. I will say this, though. Heading into this offseason, if Harden doesn't show out in this playoff series with the Heat, it would kind of be tough to really justify giving him, you know, the supermax deal that, like, he's kind of looking for. It would be tough to justify it. Like, unless Daryl Morey, who obviously has a ton of history with them during their times with the Houston Rockets, but unless Morey truly does believe that, give him a full offseason, then, you know, kind of go from there. Or he either opts into his player option for next year and they just kind of try to play it out again. It's definitely, it would kind of be hard to justify it right now.
So where are you right now, Kai?
Right now, I'm in Fort Pierce because my mother lives here. I'm seeing my mother first, and then I'm taking the drive down to Miami tomorrow morning for a Sixers shoot around.
All right, so I'm asking you, and I hope you have a good time with your family. I'm just asking you because in Fort Pierce, it's fairly safe you won't run into James tonight. I've been to Fort Pierce.
No.
You're probably not going to run into James. You probably won't run into him in Delray either, although Atlantic Avenue can be a little, you know, who knows?
Atlantic Avenue can be a bit there. Much, yeah.
Yeah, but I can tell you someone in South Florida tonight, probably about 3:30 in the morning.
He's in Northwest Miami.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we know where he's at. We know some, you know. Well, I'm gonna leave it there. But if there's a hamstring situation tomorrow, we'll know the reason. But I why was he hanging out at Hard Rock? Who comes to South Florida to hang? I mean, Qatar Hotel's nice. I'd love them to sponsor us. But I mean, come on, there's other options down here in South Florida. All right, Kai, let's get to the picks. Before we do want to tell about our sponsors again. PrizePicks.com. Use code 5 FIVE. TherapistPreferred.com. Use code 5 RSN for your premium CBD, and of course, Water Cleanup. .com as well. Make sure that you get your fire, your mold, your water damage cleaned up there. All right, let's clean this pot up with some picks here. Kai, you went Heat in five, correct?
I did. Even before Joel's injury, I said Heat in seven. So with Joel's injury, even if he does come back in game three or four, whatever, I think it's going to be a little too late. And who knows if he's even going to be the same guy. So yeah, I'm going to say Heat in five.
Greg?
Heat in five, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Heat in six, and people really should not panic if it is six, because sometimes series just need to go six. So that's where I'm at. But yeah, Heat in five is where I'm trending here. And I think it's going to be a huge, huge Tyler Hero series. Huge.
I'll agree with that. He really didn't play well against Atlanta.
No, he didn't. I'll say this. I did talk to him today. That's on the YouTube channel. I spent about 4 or 5 minutes with Tyler. Talked to him about that series. Also about the way he's played against Philadelphia, his relationship with Maxey. We believe he's going to get the Sixth Man of the Year award either Monday or Tuesday this week. It's very possible they give out the Coach of the Year award to Monty maybe on Monday because the Suns also play, but it's going to get in the next couple of days. I'm with you, though, Greg. I think it is a huge Tyler Hero series, and I think it has to be. I think we need to see a series from Tyler here. It's not a Harden situation, but Tyler wants that extension. We need to see him show out in the playoffs a little bit, particularly in a road situation. But I do think we're going to see it in this series. And I also think Jimmy's going to be really good in this series. Jimmy in Philadelphia, and that's the only thing that is leading me to think they could sweep this thing. I don't think they will. I think it's five. I think they win the series in five. I think that they'll take care of business in the first two games, and it will not be smart for Embiid to come back. And to me, that's the key to the first two games in this series. Don't give Philadelphia hope by getting this thing to a split, and then Embiid's able to talk his way back onto the court, okay? Because it's not really smart for him to play. But if the series is he wants to play. I give him credit for that. He's not a guy who's trying to sit. I don't care what the talk show hosts of Philadelphia say. It seems like he wants to be out there. And I know, Kai, I think you realize that too. Kai, we appreciate you joining us. Have a good time up in North South Florida. We'll see you at the games here this week. And you answered the Wade Harden question right, so you're welcome back anytime. Have a good night,
absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah,
well, there's thanks, only guys. One answer to that question. I'm sorry. That's it. All right. Have a good day. Have a good night, everybody. Check us out on Five Reasons YouTube.